I got a little note, never seen the guy before. Says his name is Mickey, he's deaf, and he's out of gas. Now, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do here right now? Because he's needing some food and some clothes, and we actually support another ministry in their food and clothing department. Because I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. They've got a good thing going, we help them. And I tell you, every time we send them a check or anything, they are so grateful for it. Because there's nobody else doing that. Everybody wants to draw attention to themselves. Because they forget we're building the body of Christ, not at His Feet Christian Center, not whatever your church's name is. We're building the body of Christ. Anyhow, didn't tell you all that. We did help him. But God did something else. Phil and I laid hands on him. And when he left, he could hear me snapping in his right ear. He couldn't hear at all. I tested him. He could not hear at all. And God began healing him. And I told him, I said, God will continue healing you if you keep believing. You've got to keep believing. And by the way, I did invite him back. So I expect to see, I'm going to say he's a young man. Definitely younger than me, so I guess that makes him a young man. Because I'm starting to find, you know, as the Bible says, your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. I have a lot more dreams than I ever do visions anymore. Oh, praise God. But I believe he will be back. And I'm going to tell you something else. It's something God showed me. He's been in church before. He's been in church before because I laid hands and prayed for him. He was standing there with his hands up. I said, well, this boy's been in church. He knows about God. He knows something. And just as many of you are sitting in here today, something happened. So, well, as I told you a little bit earlier, we're going to talk about joy. See, joy is something that we as human beings base on how we're feeling or our circumstances, don't we? How's it going? Well, Pastor, it's going like crap. My life is just going down the toilet. Okay, well, I understand. Not every day is Shangri-La, is it? Let's just be honest about this. Not every day do you jump out of bed ready to kick the devil's butt. I don't know what happened the other day, but I got out of bed and I'm like, oh man, I feel worse than before I went to bed. And I've even got a whole heating pad on my bed now, and I have felt a lot better after that. But we base it on how we're feeling. What are our circumstances? And that should never be so. The angel stood in the heavenlies and they proclaimed joy to the world, peace and goodwill toward all men. Joy to the world. It means we should be rejoicing. I have to laugh, though, every time that I hear secular artists who do not claim Christ, who do not serve God, do not do anything in their lives to honor God, and they're singing. I heard Joan Jett singing Joy to the World. I was like, are you Joan, at least she's getting this in her head. Our Savior reigns. They are getting some of that. So I say, sing them all. You sing all of them you want. Because they need that message. They are reading it. They're hearing, well, brother, it's not the word of God. Every word that proceeds is the word of God. If it's proclaiming joy and peace to this world, it is the word of God. It doesn't have to be wrapped up in the leather bindings of our Bible. And so, because of the fact that we base our joy on how we're feeling right at the moment, or what, you know, or maybe it's April 14th and we owe taxes and we know it, we don't have the money, so we're not joyful, are we? We don't know what we're going to do. Well, you know what you do? You send it in anyhow. What are they going to do, shave your head and send you to boot camp? Been there, done that, got the bozo button to prove it. But your joy should be in the fact that God is good all the time. You know what? And God may not come riding up on that white horse on April 16th or April 15th with the tax money. Where's your joy based in? My joy is based in the fact that God is still on the throne. And should he ever be dethroned, which won't ever happen, that would be the only time to fear. But it will never happen. See, we're living in a world today that could be high on a mountain one moment. 15 minutes later, their world has come unglued. And the devil is taking advantage of every last bit of this. He's using school shootings. He's using mentally unstable people killing abortionists. That's not God's will either. There's a way that seems right to a man, in the end, it always leads to death. And I don't see giving God or Christ a black eye helping us out any. We've got this scandal unfurling over here. We got that scandal. We've got this going on. We got that going on. And we're based solely on how things are going. People will be high on cloud nine one day because, well, the market's doing good. So all my investments are doing good, right? And you want your investments to do good. But if we focus on the truth of the matter is that it can all be taken away. Nothing is guaranteed. Well, I got a government check coming in. Your government check ain't any good if they say it's no good. So where are you still finding your joy then? Your cash is only good if the government says it's good. And I think it's hilarious that they keep changing the colors now and it's looking more and more like Monopoly money. I was looking at some hundreds the other day. I was like, they're blue. And I realized Monopoly's yellow, but it's like, this is starting to remind, and the tens are orangish yellow. This is starting to remind me of Monopoly. And guess what? They're saying eventually cash is going to go out the window. By the way, setting the world up for particular ways of purchasing things and selling things. Well, bastard, and this is why I think so many people are afraid. It's because they're looking at God is not here with us in this situation. That's what I just said a little bit ago. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, I don't care. If I got to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know he is there with me. And I have nothing to fear. Because one thing we forget, where there's a shadow, there's a light. And there is no light in the devil and in this world. And there is no darkness in our God. There are no shadows created by him. Only the things that he overpowers. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, Nehemiah is now the governor. And he's been sent back by King Artaxerxes. And they're reestablishing the temple. And they've just read the word of God. They've read the law. And the people are weeping. They are now being overcome by grief because of what actually sent them into captivity was turning their backs on the very word and on God himself. And it's being read. And Nehemiah says, stop. Stop your crying. Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength today. They were being overcome by grief and guilt and condemnation. And that should not be so. First off, we are redeemed. We have been bought and paid for. We belong to Christ. We have no reason to grieve all the wasted years. That's something people have the hardest time getting over, is the past. I'm going to point out, a rearview mirror is only about yay big. It's not that important what's behind you. I used this years ago when I first started, when I was preaching to about 10 people. And I love car movies, okay? And this particular one was Gumball Rally. It's a cannonball. I would say it's a knockoff, but it's got just about as many stars as Cannonball Rally did. But the Gumball Rally, and in my opinion, had better cars. But this real rich guy buys a Ferrari, beautiful Ferrari. He gets in there and he hires a driver from Team Ferrari to race it for him. And the first thing the guy did, I mean, this car today would be worth several million dollars, okay? The little convertible jumps down in there. And the first thing he did is he reached up, grabbed the rearview mirror off the dashboard, broke it off and threw it. And the guy's like, what are you doing? I mean, he just spent a bunch of money on this car. What are you doing? And the driver said, what is behind me is behind me and not in front of me. I don't need to know what's behind me. I'm going forward. Only when you're going backward do you need to focus on what's behind you. But see, today I've wasted so many years. Well, how about redeeming the ones you've got left and share the love? I love that in that song. He said he was the face of God. And he showed them kindness and he showed them love. That's what attracted him. It wasn't sideshow follies going on. It was the love of God in him. And people are attracted to the love of God. They're not attracted to weaned on a dill picker and baptized in vinegar. They're attracted to love. And when you're walking fully in the love of God, you can't help but be joyful. I'm not saying your life is going La Vida Loca. You're just not, everything's going your way all the time. I'll be the first to tell you, just because I now find my joy in God, I don't find it in my wife. I love her. I find joy in her. But she is not my source of strength. If she chose to quit loving me tomorrow, it's going to stink. But God said, I'll never stop loving you. And that brings me joy. See, God is not going to just walk away from you because you left the cap off the toothpaste. Put it on and shut your pie hole. Just keep moving. Don't worry about the stupid things that don't matter. See, we build our relationships on stupid things. And these things don't matter one iota. What matters is the love. The devil will throw things at you all the time. And he knows exactly what it's going to take to put you in a spin. A death of a loved one. Injustice being done in the world. Scandal in the church. Scandal in the church has been going on for centuries. We either learn to forgive and restore and get on with our lives, or we will be destroyed just as bad as anybody else. I ain't saying it's right, and I'm not justifying it. I'm saying my relationship is with God. Not with you. And your relationship should be with God and not with me. Because I'll be honest with you, there's been times I thought, Lord, I'm going to go deal with that. I'm going to deal with that problem. I'm going to go take care of that problem. But if I deal with that problem, you're going to lose a pastor for probably 10 years. Because it's not going to go well for me. So you need to be praying for me, especially with all the injustice garbage that's going on in the world. I'm like, I'll go set that straight. That ain't right. It's not for me to do that. That's why the Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. If there's one thing I cannot stand, it's lying and cheating. You can ask my family that. You lie and cheat. I'm just livid. If you're going to play a game, I say play it fairly. Let all those who play fairly. If you're going to cheat, well, I'm just going to have to say, you're going to play that way? That's the way I'm going to play. But I'm the one that's going to get called on it. And that kind of stuff infuriates me. But I've had to learn not to let it control my joy. Not let it control how the day's going to go. Some of you are working through this. You're getting it now about Mondays. Monday is just another day. When you quit treating Monday as it's going to be awful because I'm coming off of a two-day weekend or whatever, it's going to always be terrible. Whatever you're expecting Monday to be, it will be. But if you say, you know what? Come hell or high water, Jesus Christ is Lord and He is on the throne. Bring it, Monday. But when we base our life on, well, you know, if things all go good today, I'm going to be in a good mood tonight. And all the husbands go, woohoo! But if it don't go good, don't you even look at me. That's how we base our love. Our love is directly linked to the joy. And joy is linked. They're connected. If you can't find the joy in God, you will not find it in cars, motorcycles, boats, anything. Video games, I can promise you won't find it there. That's why from time to time, God does call us to times of fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer pulls us away from those things that we seem to be finding all of our joy in. Maybe it's eating. You know, now I'm not going to go to the extreme and say, well, you know, I eat to live, so it doesn't matter what it tastes like. God gave me taste buds for a reason. And if He wanted me eating slop, then He would have taken the taste buds off my tongue. It may be good for me, but if I don't like its taste, I'm not eating anymore. There are certain things my wife loves. I know some of you in here, you love kale. Me? It ain't happening again. I did it once. But there's things I like, I can promise you, you won't like. Praise God, that's what makes us great. We're all different. I mean, seriously, I can tell you how boring it is to eat the same thing that 5,000 other people are eating. It all tastes blah. They're not allowed to season it, not allowed to do this. I remember, I forget who I was telling the other day, I said, I remember the first time I ate military food, went to the chow hall. I'm trying to remember, I didn't even have my hair cut yet. That was next. I mean, we had just got in there. They threw us in there, and I sat down. All of us sat there, and we ate those awful canned scrambled or boxed scrambled eggs. I'm thinking, oh, Lord God, what did I do? I like food. I like for it to taste good. And as Pat said, he informed me of some things. He said, well, this is why I eat hot sauce with my eggs all the time now. There's some other issues, but... But if I had continued just to base my joy while I was in there on that. See, even while I was in the service, it stinks. Somebody telling you what to do, when you can do it, how you do it. It just gets old after a while. Do you know what it's like to wear the same clothes all week long? Now, I didn't wear the same pair. I like clean clothes. My underwear had to be the same color. My socks had to be the same color. My pants, my t-shirt. And I wasn't allowed to modify it. It's like, you know, these would work better if they had a leather belt. Just saying. Doesn't fly. So you can't find your joy in those things. You can't find your joy in fashion. But if you want to be fashionable, great. Who cares? Or you can just be set free from it and just wear what you like, providing it's not exposing the nether regions. As Angela's grandma used to say, possible. She said, when she was little, she said, Grandma would say, I'll wash down to possible and I'll wash up to possible as far as possible, and you wash possible. Like, yep, that works. But so many people today are losing their joy. Well, so and so, I don't know anybody particular on this one, but Grandpa died on Christmas Day. Do you know how many grandpas have died on Christmas Day in the last 2,000 years? A lot. And I realize that you're going to miss your grandpa, but he was going to die at some point. Guess what? I'm going to die at some point. Now, I'm personally believing that what the word says, that the generation that starts seeing all this stuff coming to pass will not see death. As in, I'm not going to be buried. The Bible says we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. In other words, I'll be dead, buried, and resurrected all in one shot. That's the generation I'm believing that I'm a part of. But I've already told my boys, I said, you know, eventually, guys, I am going to die. Your mom and I are going to die. I said, no, I'm not one of these guys running around, well, just take me home, Jesus, I'm ready. Ain't nothing left for me. No, yeah, there is. I've got a family. I don't care if I have to be 99 years old. If they need me around that long, that's how long I need to be around for. When I'm done, I'm done. So what I've personally learned to do is to find my joy in God, because He is my strength to get through. He's my strength to get through this tragedy that happened, that tragedy, the next impending war, the next ISIS scare, the next whatever. Lord knows we've got so many pessimists in the world. I would choose to be optimistic. To be honest with you, if you're a man or woman of faith, you should be an optimist. God, that glass is half full, and it's going to keep getting full. It's still on the full side. And you know the pessimist, well, that's half empty, and it's leaving. We're not going to have any more water. The optimist says, well, it's half full, and God will provide more. That's why I say you should be an optimist. Not because it's going to help the world get around any better. It's going to help your faith. You keep looking at the negatives of the situation. And God says, I see the negatives and I see the positives. And if there's anybody who knows anything about engineering, you've got to have a positive and a negative to make things move. It's a simple process. But for you to keep running around hiding in depression, listen, so many people are bound in depression because of the fact they're wrapping themselves up, their joy, in someone or something else. And I can promise you, they will always fail. Oh, I just find my joy driving this car down the road, letting the wind blow through my hair. Well, what happens, and this is a fact, when that car finally gives up the ghost? You're either faced with rebuilding the car that's not worth what you're going to put into it. Oh, my joy just went out the window. My convertible's gone. You know they make more, right? That's what I never understand about people in their cars. Well, I don't want to drive it. Well, then get rid of the stupid thing. Cars and trucks and motorcycles and boats were all built to be used. And trucks have a bed for hauling things. It's infuriating. I don't find my joy in it, but those people are no longer finding the joy in the thing they have. They're afraid to use it. It's like buying a shotgun. Oh, but it's a collector's item. I don't buy collectors. I want something I can use to shoot. Yeah, I see all these really fancy shotguns and rifles in at Cabela's in their, you know, their little special area where everything's like $25,000 and up. Never been fired. Well, somebody's got a lot of joy out of that. Yeah, it's pretty, but man, if you can't shoot it, what's the point in having it? So I think about all these motorcycle collectors. They got all these really fancy choppers and stuff. And it's like, man, it's a beautiful bike. You going to ride it? Oh, no, I'm never going to ride that bike. Boy, you just lost all the excitement of having a motorcycle. Well, I got it. But you're never going to use it. Psalm chapter 100. You knew I had to go there. If you read through the book of the Psalms, you'll see something very interesting. David's high on the mountain one day and low the next. Why? Because he's a person. He experienced the same things. He experienced the loss of a child. He experienced having his son who was in line for the throne trying to take it away from him, only to be killed. He has experienced more sorrow. He experienced the betrayal of betraying a man who gave his laid his life down for him. And he had him killed. David has been on an emotional roller coaster for a very long time, since he was a young man. I mean, stop and think about it. His brothers, they thought so highly of him that when the prophet said, Jesse, I want all of your sons lined up, they said, forget David. He's obviously not what they're looking for. Leave him out in the field. And God spoke to Samuel as he's walking down through. He looks at this one, and Samuel's like, oh, man, this has got to be one. This has got to be the one. And God speaks to Samuel and says, not him. I know his heart. Don't think you're hiding anything from God. He knows your heart. He says, I've already rejected him. Keep going. He's walking down through there, walking down through there, walking, and he gets, is this all of your sons? No, there's little David, out tending the sheep. So he's looked down upon by his own family. While he's outlaying down his life for their livelihood. Remember, we talked about this last week. He took on a bear. He took on a lion. He's laying his life down. And the prophet says, well, I'm going to go over here and sit down in your seat, Jesse. I'm going to take your lazy boy, and I'm going to take a nap until you get him up here. They finally bring him up. David anoints him as the new king of Israel. God says, that's the one. I know his heart, and his heart is after me. So put yourself in David's shoes. He's high on a mountain one day, gets knocked down to the valley the next. He comes back up, he's back down. He's all over the charts. But yet he's a man that God said, he's the one I want. David, one, was not afraid to talk to God the way he needed, as a friend. Do you understand? This was not normal for them. The prophet spoke to God, not the shepherd boys. And so, let alone a king. Now he's a king, taking the place that God had said, I don't want you guys to have a king. I want to be your king. They said, no, we want to rule. We want somebody flesh and blood we can see that we can maybe overthrow if we don't like him. Kind of hard to overthrow God unless he steps aside. But here in Psalm 100, I actually like the King James version of this. We always use the New King James because I'm not into these and thous and thine. I'm into using us and all. Okay? It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. The King James says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. And do you want to know why I believe it said noise? Not just a shout, but a noise. Because we're supposed to rejoice at all times. We're not rejoicing God, oh, thank you, Lord, for killing my family member. No, it's not what he's talking about. He says, make a joyful noise. Lord, I'll praise you through this. I thank you, Father, that I got to know that person. And trust me, when you're in that situation, you're not making beautiful music. You're making a noise. And David is saying you've got to reach down deep inside of you and you've got to find that noise. It may be mixed with tears and sobbing. Or it might be mixed with anger. But it'll be a noise and you will be finding the joy. And you'll be finding, as Nehemiah told the people, your strength in him. The Bible tells us to give thanks in all things. We think, oh, well, Lord, thank you that my house burned down. No, it's not what he's saying. Lord, I thank you my family wasn't in the house. Everything in that house can be replaced. You know, years ago, we used to play, I don't remember what the game was. Was it a Newlywed? No, it wasn't Newlywed. Or was it the Newlywed game? Something like that. We played it. And the question was, name one thing your spouse would run back into your burning house to save. My wife got it right. Anybody guess what it is? What it was? No, it was not her. My dress blues. My dress blues. I'd have ran back into the house to get my dress blues. Yeah, exactly. Then later on, God started really changing me. And, you know, if the question is posed again, unless my family's in there, there ain't nothing that can't be replaced. I can go to cash sales and I can get another set, maybe a set that I can fit into now. Because as it is, I think Jesse was 13 and he could wear them. I was like, holy smoke, I was tiny. But make a joyful noise, a joyful shout. And you know why? Sometimes you have to actually get a shout because sometimes it's just in there and you're like, I don't want to. And then the pressure, the depression, the anger, the torment finally builds up. And guess what you do? You yell. I remember sometime last year, I don't remember what it was about now. I just got to a point, I was outside, nobody else was there, and I just yelled. I just let it out. I mean, in town, they'd have done had the cops over there. Oh, man, he's killing somebody. Out where I live now, there's like, oh, that's just that crazy preacher. But I cannot tell you what that did for me. Because it was a frustrating time. It was a time that I was like, God, I'm going to go back to kill them all and let you sort them out. You can just wipe out that whole half of the county. But God began working and I started finding my joy in him. Not in how situations were going in my life. David said, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful shout. All you lands, I mean all you people, everybody, despite who you are. Some of us, well, I'm just not a shouter. See, I'm not a dancer. But I promise you, if God hits me, I'm going to dance. But if I'm dancing, you'd better know it's God. Now, these legs will do the little toe tap thing, but. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God, and it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. There should be nothing that ever comes your way that you cannot find God something to be thankful for. I look back at the situation that it was actually more than the situation I'm talking about was a little more than a year ago, about a year and a half or so. And that particular situation in my life, I cannot tell you how angry I was. I mean, you guys can probably experience it. I wanted to hurt somebody bad. And I knew if I had, and here's what you got to remember, when you deal with one person, if you got the right family, you got to deal with them all. And I was ready to take them all on. And I was starting to let anger build up. And you know, and you can ask my wife, I'm one that when I've been known to hold and bottle up emotions so that when they finally do explode, the thing that tripped it was just this tiny little thing. And I just blew. I was like Mount Vesuvius, man. The top blew, and I destroyed everybody around. And God started getting hold of me. I had to let that stuff go. I could not exact vengeance. He said He would do it. And I'm like, God, that's easy enough to be said. Do you know what they're saying about me? Do you know the lies they're running around this community telling on me? And not too long ago, I had actually had somebody in a business relationship in that whole situation came to me and talked to me about it. He said, I can't believe they did that. And the one thing, and that was the time I went out and I just yelled. I had to do something. If I still had my motorcycle, I would have been driving west as fast as I could. See how many bugs can splatter on my forehead because I just needed to get out. And in all that, I'm here to tell you, I'm still standing. I've forgiven the people. I don't trust them any further than I can throw them. Bible doesn't tell me I got to keep going back and sticking my hand in the mouth of the dog that keeps biting me. I know my distance. I actually had an interaction with one of them the other day. Spoke to them as if nothing had ever happened. I still won't go to their house. I still won't do anything with them because I don't trust them. You know, as they say, when a snake bites you once, he's going to bite you again. If you keep playing with it. How many of you have seen that little thing going around? I see it on Facebook all the time. The snake laying around the kid and the snake laying around the woman. This woman goes to the vet and she says, doctor, my pet snake is not eating. He hasn't eaten in weeks. And the vet says, do you sleep with your pet? And she says, well, yeah, the snake sleeps with me. He just circles around me. He says, your snake is sizing you up to eat you. He's starving himself so that he can eat you. So we all like to think that we're going to get all cozy and when people seem to be, when we know that they're snakes. If you think I'm kidding, look at what John the Baptist called the religious people. You brood of vipers. Jesus called them snakes. I call them religious people. Everybody gets religious on you. I don't care who they are. Like I said, Joan Jett singing Joy to the World about Jesus. That's religion. But praise God, maybe she'll get something of the message she's singing and find Christ. Because talent is talent, and it's from God. But we do that. And then we wonder why we got bit. And that's exactly what was happening. These snakes had slithered up and acted like they were all buddy-buddy and friendly with me. And they tried to eat me. And they should praise God I got saved. Because I could show them another snake. This would be the snake like Moses's that ate the magicians. Because I was not happy. But I've learned to forgive. I've learned to move on. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've grown more in this last year and a half than I had in a long time. God, in this time, God has showed me about forgiveness. The ways I had become religious. This was all stuff on me, and I've taught some of it. Because I won't teach you things that I haven't walked through. And these things have helped me grow so much when I started letting go. I mean, I was so proud that, you know, I had never, you know, I ain't missed any church in a long time. It was killing me. It's not missing church. This is my job. Imagine going to work and you never take a vacation, you never take a break. Now you tell me. Because in my heart I had it, well, you know, Art, if you go out on vacation, you need to go to church. Like, that's my job. It's not that I don't, it's not that it had anything to do with my love for God, because that was never in question. It was the fact that I was not letting God restore me. And so I started growing and getting past these things that were controlling and manipulating me and destroying me. I refuse to be one of these pastors who burns out because, well, I got to take it upon myself to go around the world all the time, be preaching all the time. I preach all the time. I laid hands on a man this morning, and God began to heal his ears. And all I was going to do was go in there and freshen myself up on the message. And God performs a miracle. That's what God called me to do. If he's called people to go around the world and preach, I bless them and I'll help send them forth. But just don't tell me you need to go around the world everywhere you go in first class and sleep in five-star hotels and eat in five-star restaurants. Listen, if I can eat on a dirt floor, so can you. And I've done it enough times. When we were working in this place, everybody that worked there, the food always had a little something on it because of the stuff we had in the air. It's not because it was brought in that way. It was just, once they uncovered it, and if anything hit the floor, we still ate it. So that's why I can tell you, you won't die. If we find God as our strength, as our source of strength and our source of joy, joy that cannot be taken away, our peace that cannot be taken away. My peace, and I will stand on this, you're going to have to fight me for my Second Amendment rights. But my peace is not in the peacemaker. Those of you who know Colt. My peace is in the peacekeeper, the one who holds it. My peace is not whether or not Russia's going to rise up. Listen, the Bible's already told us Russia's going to rise up against Israel. There's not a thing we're going to do to stop that. That's why we need to pray for Israel and pray for our government, not to be stupid. Don't care what the yen is doing right now. Don't care what the euro is doing right now. I know what the dollar is not doing. I don't care about any of that stuff because my economy is not tied into the world system. Well, Pastor, it is too. If people don't tithe, you don't get paid. You seriously think God can't bring supplies my way? He can bring me whatever I need. Do you know how many times I've been needing something, drive down the road, and there it is laying on the side of the road? Well, somebody lost that. Yeah, it was the angel that was driving down the road that threw it out of the heathen who stole something from this person. And he's like, hey, Pastor Art needs that hammer. I've picked up a couple hammers and tools, and I use them today. Because somebody needed a ladder at one time because it fell off my truck. Because by the time I got back, it was gone. But if we're finding our joy wrapped up in what we're hearing in the news, and that's why I caution you, don't surround yourself completely with that. It's good to know what's going on, but if your life is focused on that, you will not find peace, and it'll be all you can ever talk about. My grandpa, years before he died, all he did was sat and watch CNN over and over, and it's just a repeat. It's on a big loop when the war started. He was just all tore up about the war, all tore up about the war, all tore up about the war. Nothing else to talk about. And I'm like, we should never have backed out the first time. We should have marched to Baghdad. And we should have made it a sea of glass. That's my personal opinion. We wouldn't have had to have dealt with all this garbage if we had kept moving. But politicians got involved. And politicians run a lot of things. But the counsel we should be listening to when we wage war is God. Because we got politicians say, oh, we got to crawl in bed with these people. The last person I trust is any Arab. Because you haven't read what God said about Ishmael then. His hand will be at every man's throat, and every man's throat will be at his. There ain't a one of us going to get along with Arabs. All there is to it. God said it. But I'm not going to get concerned about it. And by the way, I know there are Christian Arabs, and they are brothers and sisters in those events. But I'm not going to get worried about what's happening. I got opinion. I've got my thoughts. But if I let them steal my joy, if I let what's going on in my world steal my joy, the devil wins. And I'm now trusting in those things. I'm trusting in the devil. I'm not trusting in God. I'm not trusting in Him to be my source. You know, when we were expecting the first time, people, you know, oh, everybody starts giving you their opinions, don't they? The ones I liked were the ones that never had babies. Did you get any of those from people that had never had a baby? You probably had guys that ain't never been a father. Now, here's what you do as a father. It all goes out, by the way. Everything will change on number two. The commercial, oh, there's no number two. Everything changes. See, everybody's like, oh, you know, I mean, we heard all kinds of, you need this, this, and this. I will tell you, we started taking advice. I know she took advice from her mom and her sister, and they said, get the babies on your schedule. Get the babies on your schedule. And the first thing she did, she got all of our boys on our schedule. They were sleeping when we were sleeping, and they were sleeping when we weren't sleeping for a while. Got them on a regular feeding schedule. But here's what people do. They listen to Dr. Spock. Did anybody ever read the second book Dr. Spock wrote about raising children? I know absolutely nothing until I had kids. The first one, there was no kids. The second one had kids. Yeah, he backed off of everything he had said. Because experience. Eh, you can't spank your children, you'll harm them. Listen, there's a difference between punishing and beating. Okay, there's a huge difference. But we can't pull correction completely off. Because there came a point in my life, I was like, you could beat me all day long. I even begged the principal one time. I said, here, you can beat me. I don't want a detention. Oh, thank you for the confidence there, but No, really, I've already heard how you paddle. It'll be a lot less painful. Now, Coach Marquis was another issue. But I can't say it enough, folks. Do not let the things of the world become your joy, your source of joy. Well, I don't know why I feel so joyful at this time. Well, it's because you quit looking at all the negativity. You start doing some things. Try carrying that year-round. Try giving to people year-round. Try being nice to people year-round. Holding the door open for somebody. Do you know how many people I've watched the other day? People just walk through and hold the door open for somebody who's got their arms full. You open the door and you step out and let them pass through. It's not that hard. And they are so grateful for it. I know I am. Always be kind. Always be generous. I don't care. Hey, you know, the person looked a little weird to me. You might have just stopped something. And we can no longer keep claiming ignorance about people. I saw something the other day about a group of Sikhs who were denied admission to a ball game. They were all wearing their ball team shirt, but if you know anything about Sikhs, the men, they wear a turban. But the security guards didn't know the difference between them and Muslims. I can tell you the differences. Most of the Sikhs I know are wearing sandals, for starters, and their turbans have a little point in them, and they're Indian. So we start, well, I don't need to know anything about that. Yeah, you do. Let's quit claiming American arrogance. Americans mean we're all of everything. Man, we got all kinds of different backgrounds in here. I remember when Angela and I first started dating. I think it was one of her brothers started to tell a hillbilly joke. And he caught himself. And he stops and says, "No offense, Art." And I was like, "Ain't none taken. Half of them are true anyhow." But you know, I don't get upset if you crack hillbilly jokes. So what? By the way, sometimes our stereotypes, they have a reason for being there because they are right. Which, by the way, is a great tool for the devil. It's called offense. I don't need to go there today, but I just want you to start finding your joy in God, not in the things around you. I don't find coming to church to be a drudge. I will admit there are times I do got to take a break. I was talking to somebody the other day who said, I've only missed one service in 3 years. And I thought, well, I think I've missed two services in 15. So, but it should not be a source of bragging. Because I got to stop from time to time and rejuvenate. Because I promise you, when I come back, I've always got a little bit more. I've gotten a little more insight. So just remember that, especially this holiday season. I know a lot of us have had situations that have happened. By the way, stay away from your family at 3:18 on Christmas Day. Statistically, that is the number one time for family fights. I've told my family, I said, you're all going in a different direction for 20 minutes. I'm going to take a nap. I will probably still be asleep at 3:18. Who knows? But that's what I heard on the radio yesterday is 3:18. Studies have proved that by 3:18, the family starts fighting. It's like, that's why I'm praying for no snow. Just go outside. It's warm. All right, I'm getting nasty looks now from some of you. Stand. No snowball fights. Oh, wait a minute. You can't. It's 60 degrees. You can have snow on Christmas Day. Okay? I'll join with you on that. Christmas Eve, it can start snowing. The 26th, it's gone. Some people don't. Well, it just depends on what it does for the spring, but I kind of like El Ninos. That's right. We're praying for snow from Michigan. I don't know that Pastor Bob might appreciate me doing that, but oh, praise God. But anyhow, I forgot he got that for her. But anyhow, if we remember the purpose of the season and what the angels declared, we were more worried about what the shepherds might have said, what mom and pop might have said. Nobody said a whole lot. It was what the angels said we should have been focusing on. Joy to the world, peace and goodwill toward all men. Not just that time of the year. It was an establishment of a whole new covenant when Christ came. God says, I'm phasing out the law. The law could not save you. He's going to fulfill the law. And what starts out as a child will grow to be a full-grown man. See, this is when everybody does get all teary-eyed. Oh, the baby that came to die. You know, it's really easy to look at that baby, but by the time he was 33, he wasn't a baby anymore. And people were shouting, crucify him. They didn't care anymore. But he was still the Lamb of God. So, anyhow. Let's pray, and I will dismiss you. Father God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for sending your Son to us to bring joy. Lord, we thank you that he died to fulfill the death and blood requirement of the law, that we can now walk in free mercy, even as David was understanding your mercy. Father, may we all fully walk in its mature fruit, Lord, that while we may be free, it is no excuse for us to sin or to cause others to sin. And now, Lord, I pray that you help those who are battling things that have happened in the past during this, what's supposed to be a joyful season. Lord, I pray that you help them to find the joy in you. And that, Lord, that all these past memories will just be that, a memory, and they will no longer bring pain and suffering. And now, Father, I thank you for all these people. Lord God, I know you love them, and I thank you for that. And Father, I pray that you bless them as they go about their work week, Lord, and as they even continue their shopping, Lord, I pray that you help them to find God deals. You set things up just for them, things they were looking for. I pray that you bless them, move mightily in their lives, in Jesus' name. Amen.